Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ here on New Sky Radio. We're here every week at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And today we have Dr. Joe Dispenza talking about change your thoughts, change your destiny. We've had a great conversation before about total transformation. How does it happen? And also his event coming up on October 16th in Seattle.
November 16th.
Oh, November 16th. Well, I was close.
Yes.
A month off. I apologize. But November 16th in Seattle, and we're going to talk more about that, too, coming up in this segment.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and welcome back to the Fire It Up with CJ show. So we are going to be giving your brains the data that it needs in order to go along for this ride, this transformational ride. And we are lucky enough to have Dr. Joe Dispenza here, who's going to be sharing the latest and greatest in scientific research that will help our rational minds ease into making these personal transformations. So welcome back, Dr. Joe.
Happy to be with you guys.
So, would you call yourself a woo-woo? Are you a woo-woo or are you not a woo-woo? I couldn't tell from looking at materials.
I'm definitely not a woo-woo. I mean, I'm not a whales in space type of guy.
Yeah.
I'm really a pragmatist, and I think that, intellectual, philosophical, spiritual content is dinner conversation. Mm-hmm. And no one really is changed by that. And I like to take science, and I think science is the contemporary language of mysticism. I think the moment you start talking about culture or tradition or religion, that you divide your audience. But science tends to form community. It tends to unify. And science is the language to explain the unexplainable. So if you can take quantum physics and neuroscience and neuroendocrinology and genetics and cellular biology and brainwave technology, and you can piece together a model, and you can make it so simple enough that people can understand, it's basically saying the same thing that mystics and poets have been saying for the thousands of years, that somehow we have a hand in our destiny. And so once you take that knowledge and you apply it and you personalize it and you demonstrate it, now we're talking about a practical application. It means you're going to have to do something differently. And if you do something differently, you should have a new experience. Once you experience the fruits of your efforts, you feel a new emotion. And that new emotion begins to teach your body chemically and emotionally to understand what your mind is intellectually understood. So we could say knowledge is for the mind and experience is for the body. The moment you experience that new event, you begin to embody that knowledge. And the moment you begin to embody that knowledge, you begin to signal new genes in new ways, and the knowledge that you've learned intellectually is beginning to become a truth. But it's not enough to do it once.
Yeah.
You have to be able to repeat it.
Well, here's the thing. I was actually early this summer, I was talking to Richard Bandler, who is one of the co-founders of neurolinguistic programming. And I said, are you able to change everyone? And he said, no, because people who don't open their minds to this are not going to change. And so do you have a similar kind of thing happening where, I mean, people can listen to your lecture five times and nothing won't happen because they won't allow the experience to happen and create that embodied knowledge?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think the hardest part about change is not making the same choice as you did the day before. And, you know, so we have people at different degrees and different levels. I think that most people wait for a crisis or trauma or a disease or diagnosis or loss to really decide to change. They wait till they've come to the lowest denominator before they really decide to make an effort to change. And that's because they're feeling so miserable or so terrible that they can't go on business as usual. So you can learn and change in a state of pain and suffering, or you can learn and change in a state of joy and inspiration. I choose the latter. So I think that if you inspire a person, I believe that everybody secretly believes in their own greatness. They believe in possibility. Mm-hmm. Whether you're the CEO of a company, a prison inmate, a single mother of three, the janitor in the school, everybody secretly believes in possibility. So then when people become inspired and they step out of their resting state, they see a new landscape that they haven't seen before. And now if you can marry a clear intention with an elevated emotion, you start to give the body a taste of the future instead of it being stuck in the past. And so it takes a little effort, but most of the people that come to my audiences and come to our workshops, they're fired up about change, and they believe it's possible. So then our events are designed to give people the opportunity to retreat from their life and practice, not just to sit around and talk about it, but to get into it, get beyond their analytical minds and enter the operating systems of their subconscious programs and change them and walk out into their life ahead of their environment.
Okay, but if someone doesn't want to change, they're like, I'll listen to that, you know. Let's say I take my best friend over and I'm like, oh, you've got to see this, it's fantastic. And they're like, I don't believe in this stuff, but I'll go with you, you know. And well, the same them appeared as the same day, the one that was the day before. I mean, they're just not going to want to change.
Absolutely, I agree.
What would you say to this?
The only impossible thing in the universe is a closed mind, you know, and so I think that sooner or later people will ultimately have to take a look at themselves and really decide if they want to keep empowering the thoughts they're having, keep endorsing the behaviors and habits, and keep living by the same emotions. And sooner or later we all come to a point where we realize that no drug or no therapy or no television show or no computer program is going to change us, that we have to do it ourselves. And that's the moment of awakening.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to shift a little bit because I promised some information on scientific research. So tell us about the who, what, where, when, why. You're telling us a little bit about some of the folks who are like on hand during your events that came in and started measuring before and after the event, what was happening to people's brainwaves. Tell us about the kind of the stuff that just blows your mind away when you see research.
Yeah. Well, we have seen some very significant changes in people's brain states. We had a woman that in her 60s that was diagnosed with progressive Parkinson's disease. The left side of her body had a lot of involuntary tremors, twitches, shakes. She had problems walking, et cetera, et cetera. We did a brain scan on her in February at one of our events, and her brain showed an enormous amount of hyperincoherence. In other words, when you have Parkinson's, there's a deficiency in dopamine in the brain, and so the upper motor neurons, the way the brain communicates with each other is very incoherent. Different parts aren't really making much sense with each other, and so that kind of aberrant, erratic firing of networks of neurons causes the body to move into spastic paralysis. So we measured her brain. It was very incoherent, and at the same time, it was also had very little energy in it. All of her energy was just absent in her brain. So the light bulb went from 50 watts to 10 watts. And so she didn't even have the mind to be able to control a lot of her involuntary conditions. 4 days later, we re-scan her brain, and 4 days of about 12 or 13 meditations, and she's changing all kinds of things and signaling new genes. At the end of those 4 days, she has a totally normal brain. And when I say normal, I mean right within the normal range. And, of course, the side effect of that is that she has no tremors, zero. And better change from just moving into more coherent states. Her brain moved back to balance. There was no incoherence. And it's like she came back to life. Her brain returned back to a normal pattern. We monitored her changes from February all the way to July. And we saw that her brain continuously got better, and so did she, just by changing her internal state. She was able to modify neurologically and also epigenetically her body and her brain, and every day by doing it, she moved into a new state of being, and she maintains that state of being, and we have evidence. In other words, the change just isn't in her mind, it's in her brain. That's one example.
Wow. Okay, that is mind-blowing. All right, blow my mind again. Give me more examples. I love this.
Remember, these are common people. This is the beauty behind it. I mean, we had a man that was in his 60s, and 10 years ago he was in a passenger in a car, and the car flipped. He had a traumatic brain injury and had a severe injury to his spinal cord. He has been wheelchair-bound since that injury. We scanned his brain. He had an enormous amount of hypo-incoherence in his brain. In other words, he was vegetative in a lot of ways, and he had very little balance or activity taking place between different compartments of his brain. He had no cognitive abilities. He didn't even have the energy, really, to be able to control his body. When we looked at the degree of energy in his brain, it was turned way, way down. So at the end of 4 days, him doing his meditation, we tracked his brain again, and his brain moves back into complete coherence. It's like he woke up. And the significance was so great that at the end of that event, he stood up from his wheelchair. Now, I assure you, nobody was more surprised by that than me. But the cool thing was now that he had a greater level of coherence and more energy in his brain, he was be able to really have more voluntary control over his body. Now, he's sitting up now. He just went on a white water river rafting trip with his family for 6 days in the wilderness. He was on a boat, you know, a raft, unassisted. He's crawling now on all fours. He's sitting up at the dinner table. He's able to use his fingers and his iPhone. He's controlling his bowels and bladder. These are significant changes, and it goes against conventional science. And so in a certain ways, we're making history, and at the same time, we're recording it. And I think it's valuable to be able to show people what's possible.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, so we have Dr. Joe Dispenza. Make sure to come to Seattle on November 16th when he and Greg Braden will be presenting Get Your Shift Together. And you can find out more information by going to his website, Dr. Joe Dispenza, DISPENZA.com. In the next segment, we're going to be talking about Dr. Joe's book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. We'll be right back.